Did you know there's over 4,000 sushi restaurants in the United States? And Metro Detroit has some great ones, like the legendary Noble Fish in Clausen or Ronin Sushi in Royal Oak. And our next guest has been a sushi chef at both of those iconic spots. And now he's stepping out on his own with a month-long sushi pop-up at Frame in Hazel Park, which essentially gives a residency to a different chef every month. It's open now, Wednesday through Sunday. It's going through September 4th. And that sushi chef is none other than Senya Hirakawa, who is the chef of Obi Sushi, again at Frame, now through September 4th. Senya, welcome to the show.
Yo, thank you very much. Konnichiwa, up though. My name is Senya Hirakawa, aka Crate DZ. You know what I'm saying?
Quite possibly one of the best intros we've ever had on this show before. We are also,
joined
by Kelly Ardita, who runs the front of the house for Obi Sushi and is also the official tuna burger helper. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for having us today.
Okay, Senya.
Yes.
First question. What is the appropriate amount of soy sauce to put on a single piece of sushi?
None.
Just a dip.
None.
For her, yeah. Well, I believe in Subway, like make your own way. So
you're right.
If you want to dunk in the, sushi roll into the soy plate, no problem. That's your choice. Mm-hmm.
That's what I like to hear, the lack of judgment. Because yes. I think people do, Americans at least, get nervous about going to sushi restaurants. And there's always the debate with friends. They're like, oh, you don't put the wasabi in the soy sauce. That's wrong. There's so much guilt.
That's very true.
But you're saying don't worry about that.
I would say so, because I had an experience of serving at the customer, like, hi, how can I help you? Then customer is like, I don't need your help. That's how I start my sushi chef career, to deal with the customers. People are very, they have a certain way they want to consume or believe in a certain way. But concept of Obi Sushi is like basically more like safe zone to everybody who are be able to enjoy the sushi on their own like terms. So yeah,
I can't tell you how much I appreciate hearing that, and I think it's going to alleviate a lot of stress for people that go to sushi restaurants.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's talk a little bit about your background and how you got into sushi. You're originally from Japan, born in Japan.
Yes.
And you come over here in 1995.
Yes.
You fall in love with hip-hop.
Yes.
But you also fall in love with making sushi.
It was more like a career choice that I had to make. So when I was like 25, 26, I was doing a server, going to actually Wayne State, maybe like 7 credits or, something. Like then I was DJing or making beats, and I met my ex-wife, and I had to figure out, like, man, I gotta make some money. Then my big brother, Kaku, who used to operate the Oslo, then moved to Ronin, and he's always talking about like, Senya, why don't you come work with me? You scared, huh? Or something like that. Then I was like, okay, I gotta like tell him like I need to work.
Yeah.
That's how I start my sushi career.
How different was the call? You were in Japan in Hiroshima until you were 14.
Yes.
And how different was that sushi culture back home compared to what you found in the United States when you get here in the mid-90s?
It's kind of like hard to say, because sushi in Japan is like, at least when I was living in Japan, that was more like very expensive food. Some being at the sushi bar, especially like sit down on the counter when you're a kid or something like that, that's like kind of like, oh, you're just rich kid or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, so I would say like general consumption of sushi in America is more casual comparing to Japan. Even though Japan got the belt conveyor sushi, which kind of makes it more like, corporate restaurant kind of setting where everybody can go. But generally, sushi is something that like people only eat in a special event. And when we do family, then that's when we do hand rolls.
So it's like our version of the steakhouse. It's like special occasions only.
Yes.
So What did you do? You carry over any of their tradition, or did you really want to approach it through like American modernized style of sushi? Like, talk to me a little bit about the menu you'll be doing at Frame.
So, my approach of sushi is that sushi is kind of like race business where people are expecting Asian people to prepare and serve. And if I own the restaurant or something, I have to be there all the time. I want to hire anybody from any backgrounds and make people happy about it. So that's why I want to cut it off that the Japanese trim, and I want to challenge sushi into more like a global food so I don't have to be there working.
It's like it's got this a lot of heart, a really powerful empowerment statement there. But he's also like, I don't want to work 70 hours a week.
But I dealt with lots of people that like kind of discriminated. So especially white sushi chef, lots of people are talking bad about white people making sushi, and I feel that's wrong. It's a weird reverse racism,
right?
But that's like really going on. So, and also, you know, I used to work with a Asian guy who was adopted to a Jewish family. Mm. So he is Asian in the, you know, appearance wise, but he grew up in Jewish, you know, environment. And some customer told him like, oh, I'm glad to see Asian people doing Asian thing. You know, it's like, you know, so those things are actually happening in the sushi business. So that's why I want to break the barrier.
Again, that's an interesting thing. You know, you're talking about if you're going to go to a sushi restaurant, don't worry about how you're eating it. Just enjoy it. That's a big, big thing people get worried about at sushi restaurants.
Yes.
The other thing is yeah, if you I've had this perception too. If I go into a sushi restaurant and it's like white chefs, I am thinking somewhere in my biased mind that it's of a lesser quality. But you're saying get that out of your brain.
Yes, it's like rap music or, you know, NBA or cowboy or, you know, there is, it's that's kind of like how America is. But I think if you want to make sushi into more bigger scale, then we have to be very global about it.
What do you think is the power of food to start conversations like this?
That's a very good small talk piece, definitely. Especially people want to talk about, you know, food. And I'm from where sushi is from, so people wanted to share what they know about it, what's their favorite things, and yada yada.
I want to open up the phone lines. We'll do a little sushi 101 with Chef Hirakawa right now. Obi Sushi now popped up at Frame in Hazel Park through September 4th, Wednesday through Sunday. The phone number is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. If you have any questions for the chef, a good opportunity to join us. What I like to call stupid questions for smart people. You've got a real life sushi chef in the building, can answer your questions for you.
Talk to me.
313-577-1019. I kind of just want you to just take over the show and host it every day because you're already a fantastic guest.
Monday, yeah.
Kelly, I want to bring you into this conversation. Let's start talking about this menu at Obi Sushi, again, now open through September 4th. Walk me through some of the favorite dishes and kind of what people can expect.
Ooh, so this is actually one of my first times really working in a kitchen and chefing a little bit. You know, I've done some other food prep in my career, but nothing like this. So I'm really excited to be doing that for the first time. Typically, I'm doing like marketing and kind of behind the scenes stuff and interacting with customers at our pop-ups, but this is different. So I have been working a deep fryer for the first time, making our lovely crispy rice. We've got a spicy salmon one with masago in the mix. And then there is a vegan option. It is an avocado, spicy avocado, crispy tuna, and those are super delicious.
Oh, that sounds absolutely incredible. And let's talk a little bit about this one. I was just looking at this on the menu, and of course it's disappearing from my screen. I want to talk a little bit about some of the hand rolls that are going to be available. Can you walk me through some of these?
Sure. So we actually started doing hand rolls because we were originally Mobile Fish Pop-Up. It was kind of a play on the Noble Fish name because that's where we met. That's where we started working together. And we were popping up at Motor City Wine. That was our first place. We are so grateful for them for having us. And we are going to be popping up there again in the fall. But space, we're right behind the bar. So, you know, for Shinya, using a sushi knife and trying to do all of that and, you know, actually be making and cutting rolls all day, not ideal. Hold and on. So, go ahead.
Yeah, I got to give credit to Mike Ransom
from IMA. Yeah,
I was like,
a brilliant idea for the tamaki.
Hey, Mike, what should I do? What's the check amount? And what should I do for that? And he's like, you know what, Shinya? You should just do a hand roll because you don't have to use a knife.
Yep.
And it's a hand food, so at the bar, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. I'll do that.
Mike Ransom, friend of the show. They just opened IMA Izakaya. I was there the other night. Fantastic.
Yeah. Yes.
But explain that, like the difference between the different types of sushi. Because, again, I don't think a lot of people know this stuff. And culture shift is all about making people feel comfortable and informed.
Okay. So traditionally, I think Oshizushi, which means push sushi, that was kind of like earlier stage of the sushi, because sushi used to be more like a preserving method where you got the fish and put the rice around, so you keep the rice, you keep the fish for a long time, and that became more sushi. The so-called traditional one with a nigiri, which is a edomai sushi, that's originated from Tokyo area. And that's the 1600s, around that time. Then roll was originally just seaweed outside and just single item or something like that, called hosomaki, skinny maki. Then sushi crossed the Pacific Ocean, came to America, and
Shepherd, we put it in a deep fryer.
Before deep fryer. Chefs are kind of struggling to serve the sushi to American, and they're like, how do we should do? How can we put more stuff inside of the rolls? Or American people at that time didn't eat any kind of like black object, so that it wasn't like attractive as a food. So that's how they came out with our inside out rolls. And that's the birth of a California roll, and that took off.
The birth of the California roll.
Yes.
It was a wrap from there. We got open phone lines here, 313-577-1019. Chef Hirakawa in studio with us from OB Sushi. Also Kelly Ardito. They're going to be at Frame Hazel Park now through September 4th, every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we do have a caller on the line. It's a great opportunity. If you've got questions about sushi that have always been on your mind, dining etiquette, the history of it, how to eat it, what to avoid, whatever you want to know. 313-577-1019. Dominic in Detroit, you're on Culture Shift.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks for calling in. What's your question?
Yeah, no problem. I had a question for Chef, actually, about the fish. What market do you go to get the fish, or how fresh is it? How often do you get it? Especially, like, I imagine it's a lot of ocean fish, or how much of it is freshwater fish?
Great question, Dominic in Detroit. Chef, what do you say to that?
So this is kind of like insider talk, but as far as Michigan, we are in England, so we get it pretty much from our distributors. We have True World, which is the owner of the Noble Fish / One World Market. Then we have place like JFC, which is actually owned by Kikkoman, and we get fish from them. Lots of them are really frozen because parasite reason. Usually health department are expected chef to use the frozen fish and thaw out to make it fresh. So, of course, nowadays we have better method to deliver, and we have like better technology on freezing the fish. So we have fishermen caught the fish, freeze them real quick, and just ship it to sushi chef. There is like more business model likes that too. But as far as Michigan, we don't really go market and kind of pick the fish and, you know, get it going. And fresh water is usually, like, for the parasite reason, it has to be prepared. So not much sushi chefs are using that, except unagi, the freshwater eel. Those are a few things that, like, people use it for the sushi.
But there's nothing that you could use or get out of, let's say, our Great Lakes and be able to use? Could you do, like, a whitefish? Like, I've seen, like, crab salad worked into sushi.
I mean, you can. Like, if you do, like, tempura or, like, you can grill them. But sometimes that's kind of more of, like, how the sushi place is busy. Can you invest your labor into deep fry the fish prepare? Or you want to get, like, something just fish and cut it up and serve. So there is that, like, business flow reason. Usually sushi, there isn't much sushi chef around, and it's kind of like you're chosen to kind of became a sushi chef lots of times. So, you know, it's sort of like we don't have enough people to do lots of stuff like that. Yeah.
Being a sushi chef, how critical are the knife skills? Like, what do you think is the most important skill you've got to have being a sushi chef?
Have a good knife.
That's it.
If you have bad knife and you're the best, you still can't do a good job.
Love that.
If you have really good knife and you have decent skill, then you can do a lot better job, I would say.
What if you have the best knife but you're the worst chef?
If you watch YouTube and, you know, just study up a little bit, you should be good.
313-577-1019, doing a little bit of Sushi 101 with Chef Hirakawa here in studio. Obi Sushi now operating as a pop-up at Frame in Hazel Park through September 4th. Chef, talk to me about this menu. We talked a little bit about it, but what are some of your favorite items? What are you excited to be serving to the people?
So every menu items are my babies, so, you know. I love them all, but the one great thing about Obi Sushi is 100% gluten-free, which is, I don't think, not much sushi places do that. Typically for the reason, because tamari soy sauce is definitely more pricier than regular soy sauce. And also, you know, it's just the cost and operation-wise, it's just easier to use conventional a wheat product rather than make everything into gluten-free. But I had a lot of experience of people with allergies as far as serving sushi-wise, and people have to prepare differently for each people. And also, sushi place usually have regular soy sauce, less sodium soy sauce, and tamari soy sauce. And it's just too much to have like three soy sauce in very small settings. So I decided to go for just all gluten-free, charged up a little bit, then everybody can have it.
I think that's really incredible. You're really focused on making this more accessible and breaking down some of these stereotypes we've got about sushi.
Exactly.
And is that coming across? I mean, what has been the experience so far with Obi Sushi? Have you been able to get good feedback from people?
Yes. The dishwasher who we work with, shout out to Jeff. Jeff say every plates are clean, everybody eats, everybody feels happy. All the servers at Frame, shout out to them. They say, like, I'm doing a great job. Kelly's doing a great job, so be good.
I'm very, very excited to check out this pop-up. Obi Sushi at Frame in Hazel Park, open now through September 4th. Dinner service Wednesday through Sunday. We are joined today by the chef behind Obi Sushi, Senya Hirakawa, as well as Kelly Ardito, who runs the front of house for Obi Sushi. And thank you guys so much for talking to us about sushi, taking some phone calls, and we'll see you at Frame.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And, you know, you coming from the background of hip hop and DJing, people are actually going to be treated to like a custom soundtrack that you made for the bar while people are eating.
Yes, me and Kelly put it out a playlist. I'm from a hip hop background, used list. So it's more like, you know, hip hop sample kind of like playlist. RIP to Lamont Doizer. I put a couple songs from him too, but kind of have the Detroit, you know, feelings, because that's how I like kind of fall in the love in the Detroit and decided to stay here, because this is the Mecca.
Mm,
And that's why I want to make something distinguished. Really, I want to say my sushi is the Michigan sushi, and I'm proud. Nobody want to claim Michigan sushi, but, you know, people from Detroit, you have Detroit rap, Detroit techno, Detroit house, Detroit hardcore,
Detroit,
you know,
pizza.
Detroit pizza.
And Detroit sushi.
But anything from Detroit can be the original, and that's it. We are the, you know, there's a Detroit mythology out there, and that's like kind of like how I do think. Like, I used to live with a Sheafy McFly. What up, Sheafy?
Friend of the show, Sheafy McFly.
Yes. So that's like kind of part of the Detroit mythology kind of guy. And, you know, I got inspired from all those people to kind of put it out. Something can be traditional, but can be very like global.
You heard it from Chef himself, hip-hop, sushi, at Frame in Hazel Park, Wednesday through Sunday through September 4th. Thank you both again for coming on the show.
You're welcome, Ryan.
Thank you so, so much.
We'll be talking to you guys very, very soon. You heard all about it here on Culture Shift on WDET.